So contentment is the key that helps us to lay hold on eternal life. Now let's go to Matthew 4, and we're only going to look at two passages before we go this morning, because it's almost time to go. But Matthew chapter 4. I don't know if you realize what Jesus' favorite subject matter was. Jesus spent the majority of his earthly teaching time on one topic. It's the most frequent topic he brings up. And you all know this. You all know that Jesus talked about physical possessions, material possessions, more than any other, more than prayer, more than heaven and hell and salvation. Jesus talked about our material possessions, because he said that money is the monitor of our heart. Our view of money shows the condition of our heart. And what he said is, if you're not careful, that as your heart gets lukewarm, you will experience the dreadful spiritual blinders that we found in Laodicea, where there's no spiritual sight. You just can't see the world like God does. It's just all the stuff is in the way. And that removes from us the heart of love and compassion. See, the early church used to be so responsive. If there was a need, they just went and filled it. And if there were lepers, Christians would go and move in with the lepers. And if there were orphans, Christians moved in. And I mean, everything that has been kind of loving around the world is from Christianity. They were so moved, they helped the orphans. They were so moved, they helped the widows. They were so moved, they helped the lepers. They were so moved, they helped the starving. They were so moved, they helped the oppressed. But now, riches make us think that if we just throw from the balcony, you know, throw some coins down there like money to the fish in the pond, that that's enough. But God says, don't throw your money, throw yourself. You attach yourself and go and help them. That's what Jesus taught. And he says, the way that you can measure whether you're living for the temporal or the eternal is in your everyday life. And so in Matthew 4, look at verse 4, Jesus says, all of us live everyday life, life with aches and pains and deadlines and pressures and hopes and fears and ups and downs. It's a life of getting up and going to work or school and waiting for special things. And it's taking care of life. It's a life framed by our body, our car, our job, our world. That's life. And that's what we're all born into. In fact, we're unpacking a box from our move, and I was going through, I said, honey, I've never seen any of this stuff in my life. She said, well, you must have. It's your box. And I said, well, I'm not sure where it came from. And I looked at it. It was from my mother, who died in the year 2000. And so I cut that thing open. I opened up. And the first thing I found is the little tag that was on my bassinet at Edward W. Sparrow Hospital on January 11, 1956. She saved it. I went, wow. It's the tag. It said, it's a boy. You know, 8 pounds, 14 ounces. And it was, and then I started finding all the cards that everybody sent her, saying congratulations. And so, and I looked at all that stuff, and as I went through it, I looked down, and there's all this other stuff that I don't ever remember seeing. And I just thought, that's everyday life. That's our temporal life. I mean, I certainly can't take that box to heaven, right? It's temporal. And most of our life is made up of the temporal. But when we got saved, the Lord regenerated us by the new birth, and we had another track that we're following. Ever since January 11, 1956, I've been on the temporal track. I have a body that's wearing down, a mind that's fraying, and I have a life that is slowly ebbing. But in November of 1962, another tandem parallel track started, and it was eternal life. At age 6, not only do I have my temporal life, I had eternal life. And those two tracks just kind of go through life if you're born again. And a lot of time we're so much on this track, you know, worrying about the car and the house and the flat tire and putting air in our tires and gasoline 239, better go get some. And we're thinking about all that stuff that we are not sure quite how to, you know, be on this track, the eternal track. And so Jesus tells us, he says, be careful. The eternal part of your life that you know is there and you hope for in the future will be either neglected or embraced. What Jesus said is, are you thinking more about the temporal or the eternal? And so, starting in chapter 4, verse 4, he gives us a series of tests. Jesus said, you need to not live merely for the temporal, the earthly, the material. You need to start thinking about the forever. So here's the first test, Matthew 4:4. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Temporal life over here makes me only think about what I'm going to eat, where I'm going to sleep. Am I going to be in the cornfield? Is it going to be cold, damp? You know, I've got to get a heater, you know, and I'm just thinking about that. eternal life says, I have to live, look at verse 4, by every word of God. Now, look up, and in the last 7 days, don't count today, today's first day of the week, in the last 7 days, have you found it extremely hard to open this book and to get into a place where you can actually hear God talking to you? I don't know what that means to you. It might mean you have to read three chapters. It might mean you read one verse. It might mean that you precede it with prayer or follow it with prayer or memorize a verse or write something down. It isn't the mechanics. It's whether or not you actually engage with God. If you're having great trouble doing that, Jesus said, it's because your life is more temporal than eternal. That you think more about bread and life that's temporal than you do about Him, our God, and life that's eternal. And the way that you measure that is where His Word fits in. Did you have more time this week to flip on whatever source of incoming news you get and find out about your sports team? Did you do that more frequently than the Word of God? Did you check on your finances and chart and get all your sells and buys and move money around more than you did rake in some of this treasure into your earthen vessel so that it would affect you? If you spent more time in the temporal than the eternal, that's more important to you. God says every day your time in His Word is a monitor that shows you which is dominating in your life. Now He keeps going. Look at chapter 6. You turn over to chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 18. Jesus really gets down to business. And He says in verse 19, Matthew 6, 19, He said, do not lay up. Now, He wasn't opposed to basketball. What He was saying is, it's actually the word thesaurizo, so He's not against English grammar either. Do you remember a thesaurus? Have you ever gotten a thesaurus? It's about this thick, and you open it up, and it has one word, and it has about 50 other words that mean basically something similar. So it's like a collection of similar things stacked. Actually, thesaurizo means to stack treasures. So look what He says in verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. Jesus said, do not thesaurizo for yourself treasures on earth. He said, shoes and shoes and shoes and shoes and shoes. They're all shoes. It's like a thesaurus. But we just never quite have enough. And sweater and sweater and sweater and sweater and sweater and sweater and sweater. And money and money and money and money and money and money. He says, don't stack. Don't have so much that you just stack it. And you just got to have one more. Remember Imelda Marcos? What did she have, 2,500 pairs of shoes? I mean, can you wear that many in a whole lifetime? Had she ever seen them all? You know, but it's just like we're perpetual stackers. All of us. You know, yesterday there's a benefit of hunting. I spent 8 hours sitting in one spot. 8 hours in the same spot looking out this little. And there were no deer, as you could tell, you know. And so I started watching the squirrels. And I saw two squirrels, watched them all day. One of them went over, got a nut, and he buried it. And he went off looking for another nut. And the other squirrel came and took his nut, and he put it over here and buried it over here. And so this squirrel came back, and his nut wasn't there. So he went back and got it. And this time he took it up there. I'm watching them put it up there in this little hole in the tree. And he left to go get another nut, and the squirrel went over, and he got it out of the hole in the tree, and he put it down. And I'm watching this, and I thought, those guys aren't even anxious. They're just having so much fun playing with the nuts. And you know what the Bible says? Don't worry. Your Father will provide for them. He says, don't stack treasures on earth where, look at verse 19, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Jesus said, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, we don't even know what that means. If we're blinded by material stuff. You know, someone once wrote, they said, it's amazing that giving in America is that only rigor mortis drops it from our hands. Most people give post-mortem. The majority of their giving is post-mortem in their estate. And there's nothing wrong with estates, and you should have a will. If you don't have one, don't give it to the government. Oh, give it to somebody else. But most people give the majority of their giving when they die. You know what? That's wonderful. At least they gave. But they don't have the joy of personally, sacrificially laying up treasure in heaven. And Jesus said, as consciously as you stack whatever you like as treasures, it doesn't matter what it is, we all collect stuff. Either we collect money, or we collect experiences, or we collect, you know, clothes, or we collect sports equipment, or we collect, you know, videos, and I mean, who knows? We collect stuff. But Jesus said, as earnestly as you stack stuff on earth, verse 20, stack stuff in heaven. How do you do that? Well, Jesus said the only thing you can literally take with you to heaven are people. You can actually take people to heaven with you. Have you ever tried to take someone to heaven with you? Did you know you can stack people in heaven? You can lead them to Christ? Another thing Jesus said is every penny that you put into Jesus' hand, every penny, he said, you'll get 10,000% interest. That's better than Fidelity Investments can offer. And you know what? It's not a pyramid scheme. God says every penny you give me, you'll get 100-fold. That's why I love the offering. You know why I love the offering? The men that wear those pretty blue shirts, they have a little logo on them. Did you know I don't even see them? When they put that plate down, that's why it's just so sad for the rows that never get one. Did you know that that plate, to me, when I look down at it, I look down past the brass and the felt. I think it has like a maroon-colored felt or something, so that checks that hit it don't make noise. But when that goes by, do you know what I see? It's like passing down my row are two hands like this, and they have nail-pierced hands. And I love to drop something in those hands that go by. And Jesus said, anything you drop in my hands lasts forever. And your time and your spiritual gifts. Jesus said, I bless you if you invest your life in my church. Now, we all invest our lives in our community, in our schools, in our teams, in sports, and we're part of all these other groups. Are you a part of the most important group? I don't mean are you a member and spectator. I mean, are you actually participant? Did you know we're coming up on our 80th anniversary celebration. It's going to be next month. Do you know what the big part of that is? That every person that's a member of this church that attends regularly should have a ministry. This should be the church that's known in Kalamazoo that everybody is a minister. We don't just have a few paid ministers. Everybody's a minister. And Jesus said, you do that and it'll never pass away. And look what he says in verse 21. For where your treasure is, where you're stacking stuff, that's where your heart will be. So he says, you should be treasuring me so your heart's with me. Because, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God in your stacks. Therefore, I say unto you, don't worry. And on he goes about the squirrels I was watching yesterday. But look at verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. God wants us to not have so much affluence that we don't see the world as he sees it. And if we'll see the world as he sees it, we'll seek his rule in our life and we'll look at our treasures, our time, our money, our giftedness we have, our availability. We'll look at those as a toolbox that's just open and saying, Lord, how do you want me to deploy these tools? They're yours. That's what life, that's what contentment does. Instead of me spending my whole life buying more tools and putting them in my box, I say, I got enough tools in my box. And I open up and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with my tools that you've given me? So we need to live for eternity, and contentment frees us from wanting more and more and makes us want to learn how to be rich in eternal terms. And contentment frees us to invest in heaven instead of stacking more stuff on earth that people are going to have to do something with. And contentment helps us see that our lifespan and our resources were all given to us by another who actually owns all that. And he belongs to us and we belong to him. And we should live for him. The power of contentment comes as we surrender all we have and all we are to Jesus.